A reading from John 7, 10-13. However, after his brothers had left for the feast, he went also, not publicly, but in secret. Now at the feast, the Jews were watching for him and asking, "Where is that man?" Among the crowds there was widespread whispering about him. Some said, "He is a good man." Others replied, "No, he deceives people." But no one would say anything publicly about him for fear of the Jews.
Now, just a little context here. Several days ago, we read a passage, which was the first part of the chapter of John, where Jesus' followers try to persuade him to go up and make a public declaration of who he is in Jerusalem. And Jesus refuses to do that. He says, "My time has not yet come," he says. And then instead of not going, he goes up quietly, secretly, basically, and then shows up. And this is where this picks up.
Yeah, it's part of the process of showing Jesus aware of being in the flow of the Father's times. You know, back to that line, "I only do what the Father is doing. I only go where the Father is going. I only say what the Father is saying." And also this idea of tension that's developing about who Jesus is. The last phrase could be confusing for us because it says, "No one would say anything publicly about him for fear of the Jews." Apart from the Romans who are occupying, they're all Jews.
Right.
So what's going on here? It's an example of really poor translation, which happens a lot in the Bible, and people not really seeing the context. It probably should be the Judeans, because Jesus' popularity is growing among the Galileans. And we've just come off of a couple of Galilean passages of his people being sent out. Now he comes into Jerusalem, which has as its ruling class the Judeans. And they're the ones that are in power. They're in...
You're cooperating with the occupying Romans,
right? And so there are many ways puppet leaders. They don't like the Romans any more than the others, but they've developed their power base, their religious power base, by being connected with the political power base. And so the fear is that you don't want to get these people turned against you. And so when it says some, they're saying he's a good man, good chance those are Galileans, except for a handful of Judeans who want to live above just using power for their own benefit, the Nicodemuses, the Joseph of Arimathea types. But the ones looking on who saying that he's deceiving are the Judeans, because they don't want Jesus messing up their power base.
In addition to that, this is another example of how persuasive to me the Bible is, because if this was written as sort of making up Jesus as king, you wouldn't get passages reporting that people don't know who he is. They're all confused by him. Some more or less, he's a good man. Or others say he's a holy man, and so on and so forth. There's a lot of controversy around him that's actually reported in the Gospels here as a way of explaining why it is not only what you just said, but it's dangerous to go into this place where he's ultimately meant to go, and why he is saying he is not going to go publicly.
So at the same time, because of the way the Bible is brought together, its historicity just floats to the top. But at the same time, it's very contemporary, because we live in a day today where so many people who have the pulpit, they're the ones to announce the Word of God, simply tell people what they want to hear so they don't upset the apple cart and call out what's going on in our society. And so in one moment, in one simple passage, it seems to be a passing commentary on Jesus' life. We see this deep-rooted historicity and this contemporary reality.